Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Thank you, Dave. 9:10 on this Friday morning. See a tweet from the Causeway, and Courtney may have mentioned it, but I wasn't listening. Sorry. The Causeway Maintenance Department conducting a bridge cleaning on the Causeway North Brown Bridge in a left lane. Please use caution in the area and merge into the right lane. Be aware of that. It is Friday morning, first Friday of the year. Ian McNulty joins us now, our good friend who covers food and dining culture for the New Orleans. Let me see what your title here. Covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. How you doing, Ian?
Tommy, it's great to be back. Thanks for having me, as always, and Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. I want to get your thoughts because you love this city as much as anybody does. And although not technically a local, you have certainly earned your local stripes. Just your thoughts on what happened, and especially when it comes to the French Quarter restaurant community, the eating and drinking area, et cetera, those kind of things.
Sure, Tommy. You know, the French Quarter is symbolic. You know, I mean, it's the reason why national coverage, whether it's a big football game or whatever's happening, you know, they focus on the French Quarter. There's always a shot of Bourbon Street and the shot of lovely, quiet Royal Street. It is the hub of hospitality, and New Orleans is a hospitality town. You know, I mean, we always encourage people, visitors, you know, don't just have your whole trip be in the French Quarter. Please get out into the different neighborhoods around town, get up to City Park, Garden District, River Bend, go to these neighborhood restaurants, you know, see all of New Orleans. But the French Quarter is the heart of it. You know, it's the thing that brings all of us together. We go down there for parades. We go down there for Mardi Gras. We go down there to these restaurants that feel like extensions of our family traditions, you know, the old Grand Dames. We go down there for cool bars that make us feel like the French Quarter is our neighborhood, too. You know, it's a vastly important place, and it's symbolic. I mean, that's the reason why it was selected for this act of evil, because it would make a big impression, a French Quarter, Bourbon Street. I think it's up to us as New Orleanians to reclaim the symbolism of it. And we can do that very easily by practicing our lifestyle of hospitality, of our joy of food and drink, by getting out there and supporting, you know, the great places that we have in the French Quarter. This isn't just, okay, tragedy happens, you're opening up your wallet. Yes, maybe part of it, but it really is reclaiming that the cultural core of our city as a place where New Orleanians celebrate and rejoice, not a place for these, you know, acts of evil. And, you know, I say it over and over again, if you want to partake in the New Orleans lifestyle, a really genuine, easy way to do that, gratifying way to do that, is go see the pros who kind of set up the cultural framework for all this stuff to happen, the restaurants and the bars. And Tommy, that's exactly what I did yesterday. You know, I went downtown. I decided I was going to spend the whole day in the French Quarter. I was working, I was on the clock, I was working on stories, helping out my colleagues who are burning it at both ends, NOLA.com, Times-Picayune, to cover this thing in all of the news angles you can think of and really digging deep. And I mean, I'm just blown away by the effort they put into it. And it's incredible. Just go to NOLA.com and see the literally hundreds of stories that my colleagues have put out on this since it occurred. But I took the day just kind of soak in the French Quarter and see it kind of come back to life. And I started in the morning. I went by one of my favorite little breakfast spots in the French Quarter. It's called Mina's Palace on Charter Street. It's one of those old-fashioned French Quarter restaurants that makes it feel like a neighborhood joint. You know, it's a breakfast and lunch cafe run by a Greek family. There's no Greek food on the menu. It's all New Orleans, but they may have a bottle of ouzo behind the bar. Also, a breakfast and lunch restaurant with a full bar. Just think about that. Walk down the streets, just seeing the light change in the French Quarter as the day begins, seeing the Leidenheimer bread truck make the rounds. You know, and all this, meanwhile, is while Bourbon Street was still shut down, was still cut off. But as sort of luck and maybe a little intuition, reporter's intuition would have it, I was in the right spot at Bourbon and Canal when Superintendent Fitzpatrick said I declare Bourbon Street open, was there to walk down Bourbon Street when they had just officially opened it. And one of the, you know, it was take a look at what the new barriers that they put up. I'm sending photos to my news colleagues so they can see it all. And then I snap into, you know, Ian the food writer mode and start visiting restaurants. And Tommy, an extremely moving moment happened. And if you want to see a visual on it, you can go to my Instagram at Ian McNulty NOLA. It's probably the easiest place to find it. It's also attached to a story on NOLA.com, and I believe it's in the print edition of our paper today. But this photo I was able to snap, didn't see it coming. You know, Bourbon Street is very slowly coming back to life. You know, it's for the first, I don't know, 20 minutes or so, it's probably like 2-to-1 news professionals and military and police professionals to actual visitors. That quickly changed. It filled in. But in that one moment where the street was just starting to trickle back to life, I watched the staff at Felix's Oyster Bar walk outside. Their manager, Javeri, was organizing them. She put up a platter with 14 candles. You can assume the symbolism there. She put that on the sidewalk, and they all joined hands, Tommy. They gathered around it, and under a balcony lined with American flags, they had a short prayer session, group prayer, for the people who were lost and the faith and the will to move forward. And it was very touching, and really, it stopped me in my tracks. Check out the picture. It's really gotten it really hits home, I think. And
it does, and I saw it actually on TV as it was unfolding. Ian, yeah. And it was, to me, it was just perfect. It was just perfect. I don't know. I can't add anything to it. It was just perfect.
It was a moment of heart and soul and hospitality, right? These are people who are getting ready to start up the machine again. They were going to serve po' boys and open oysters and pour beers and host, you know, this is on Bourbon Street. They're going to be hosting a lot of visitors, and there are a lot of visitors in town with Sugar Bowl. And then they just took time as New Orleanians to do what they do, join hands, be a community, think about other people, and then get to work. And, you know, directly across the street, Galatoire's restaurant, you know, the waiters and the staff there, they were all ready to go. They had, you know, they were there in their tuxedos. As soon as people started walking down the street, they were opening the doors for them. I mean, it was the same kind of scene all across the French Quarter. I spent, you know, most of the day there, and then Tommy went home, did some work, you know, on a proper laptop, charged the phone again, and went right back down. And we basically did a bar hop, kind of a restaurant bar hop of a few different places. I couldn't decide on one restaurant to go to, so I wanted to go to a bunch of them, you know, that had been closed on New Year's Day and were able to get back open. Stopped in at Redfish Grill right there at the gateway of Bourbon Street, Ralph Brennan's seafood restaurant, had their fabulous barbecue fried oysters. A glass of wine that I can describe only as Bourbon Street size. This is a glass of wine that came with a sidecar. Next, over to Arno's, not for a formal dinner, but just to have a fabulous cocktail at the French 75 bar. And then up the street to Jewel of the South, a much more modern restaurant that's been getting a lot of national acclaim for a couple small plates and a cocktail, and the knowledge that the Jewel of the South team, big kudos to them, they had decided, they were debating whether to open or not yesterday, whether to give it another day off. They decided to open, and make a fundraiser for the New Orleans New Year's Day Tragedy Fund through the Greater New Orleans Foundation. So here's a business that had to close on an extremely busy day, New Year's, but decided the day they were going to get back open, they're going to give it to others. And, I mean, that's New Orleans hospitality right there in a glass.
You know, I said earlier, Ian, and I can't speak for the families of the people who were injured or killed or for them, obviously, but it would. I can only speak for myself. If that were to happen to me, and Jason Williams said he had a son that was 20 years old and that was on Bourbon Street at 2 a.m. and thankfully was had gone home by then, college age son, doing what he was supposed to be doing, not anything wrong or anything. But he had, just as a parent and as an official, I found it interesting to hear him say that. But I tried to put myself in that position, and as heartbreaking losing an adult child is or would be, if my kid was out partying on Bourbon Street, and not that my kid does do that because he lives in North Louisiana. It's a long story anyway, but the point is this. I don't think the people that were out there enjoying themselves would want Bourbon Street shut down as a memorial. I think the greatest tribute you can pay to them is to maintain the vitality of the street, maintain the vitality of the quarter and everything it is that attracted them there in the first place. Do you think I'm off base here?
No, I do not. Absolutely not. I mean, it is the whole picture of the French Quarter to me and New Orleans, really. I mean, the French Quarter is the anchor for our hospitality community. And, you know, one way or the other, it's what people come to see. If they're going to be asked about it when they go home. Did you see Bourbon Street? Did you go to the French Quarter? How was it? They can say, yes, but we found this amazing restaurant uptown. Or, boy, you got to cross the river to Algiers. Or, man, the Bayou St. John's, where it's at. But at some point or other, you know, everybody who visits New Orleans, you know, the French Quarter and Bourbon Street are going to be some part of it. They play some role in it. But what I'm really interested in right now for us and for our audience here is the role that it plays for locals. I mean, walking around the French Quarter yesterday, I was recounting, times that I go down there, whether it's to visit one of the restaurants that you can only find in the French Quarter, or go to one of the bars, the music venues. If I have people in from out of town, I kind of have a little tour my own ad hoc walking tour. I've got the little, not shortcuts, long cuts that I take because I know they're going to be the most picturesque. You know, I know I'm going to lead people down Exchange Alley. I know I'm going to take them down Pirates Alley. I think about you would have to have blinders bigger than those carriage mules not to see the problems, the deficiencies, and the warts of the French Quarter, which are numerous and need to be addressed. But it is the enduring beauty and it is the personality of that place that still makes it so compelling. You know, that's what I love about it, and it's the restaurants and the bars and the clubs that really kind of open the door to it all and give it a framework for going down there and exploring it and walking the streets and, you know, measuring your pace around the neighborhood by go cups and watching the other people and seeing what other locals you run into. I mean, that was the story of that's the story of the French Quarter. It's a magnificent place. It's ours. And this is a time when we need to stand up for it and reclaim it.
I refuse to live my life in fear. And again, I said that earlier this morning. I refuse to live my life in fear. And whether it's crime or whether it's terrorism, whatever it is, I refuse to let anybody else dictate what I do. That's just the way I am. And I think it's the way you are as well, McNulty. Maybe half nuts, maybe hard-headed. I don't know what it is, but I refuse to do that. I will not be bullied. And I think when you live your life afraid, when you say, oh, Lord, I this might happen or that might happen, then you're succumbing to bullies, which is what criminals are, which is what terrorists are. That's not to say that you don't have to be smart, but what are you going to do, wave the white flag and surrender? I don't think so, at least not me.
I'll tell you another thing I love about the French Quarter, Tommy, is the dichotomy of it all, right? It is, you're talking about the idea of class and trash, you know, like a great night out. As for me, class and trash, going to a really nice restaurant, then kind of a wonderfully tattered dive bar, or, you know, flip it, go to a Greasy Spoon or a strip mall joint, and then, do it up with a fine cocktail later or before or whatever. It's just that, it's that feel of, like, you know, both sides of the coin that is so New Orleans, that New Orleans does so well. And that is one of just the defining dichotomies of the French Quarter, I think. And But it plays out in so many ways there. I love it. You know, it's people, you know, getting dressed up, going out with their family to Antoine's, Galatoire's, Arno's, and then ended up at the old Absinthe bar with their arm on the rail, you know, watching the people stroll past. They're going over to Harry's Corner Bar around the corner from the oldest cathedral in the side of North America. I mean, it's all right there. It's everywhere. And lately, another one that I really like in the French Quarter is this kind of dichotomy between the very old and the new and the modern. And, you know, they're all occupying the same space, this iconic French Quarter space with all these, you know, the architecture, the balconies, the courtyards. But you've got these, like, kind of classic old school places, the Grand Dames I just mentioned, You've got, like, kind of the Dickie Brendan's restaurants, Ralph Brendan's restaurants, Napoleon House, Mr. B's, kind of the fundament of these things, Bayona. And then you've got, like, this new generation who is really expressing their view of hospitality, New Orleans hospitality, in the same, you know, architecture, the same framework, Palm and Pine, Jewel of the South, I mentioned, Will in the Way, this great place on Jackson Square called Fives, Oyster Bar with fabulous cocktails. And you see what the other, the next generation is doing with the cultural inheritance they have of the French Quarter and making it relevant for their generation. And I that's exciting to me because that's the kind of thing that's going to bring New Orleans people into the quarter too, not just to, you know, go to the same old places they've always gone to, even though they love Fat O'Brien's, will always go there once a year with their friends or whatever. But because really these places, ones that I mentioned and a bunch more, Manolito, Sylvain, have Cane and Table, kind of have the pulse of modern New Orleans hospitality and they want to check it out. And so that's all happening right there in the French Quarter right now. And it's ours to support and uplift.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. Ian McNulty's our guest, 925. We'll get into some of the restaurant stories of 2024, some of the things to look ahead to in 2025. As always, the Oquinard Jeweler Talk and Text Line is open at 504-260-1870. Ifin, you had a question about eating or drinking for Ian McNulty. McNulty, real quick, I'm presuming that you were pulling for the Irish yesterday or not?
Oh, I had a dog in both fights, no pun intended to my Georgia friends, but yeah, there was a little part of me smiling at the rocking.
Yeah, I thought those Irish eyes may be. We'll be back, WWL. 9:30, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Ian McNulty as we always do. Ian, earlier I spoke with Melvin Rodrigue, president of Galatoire's, who also lives in the quarter, and you know, they're up and running and everything, and I asked about, and I thanked him for what they do at Galatoire's, and I also thanked the Legers again because they took me to my first Friday afternoon at Galatoire's last year. I think it was in the spring, and I will be back this year. For people that don't know, and Galatoire's doesn't need the publicity, but I was trying to explain it in my best way. How would you describe a Friday afternoon at Galatoire's, especially a Friday afternoon, what people are going to see there, and the importance I think it is, what's waiting for every New Orleanian to at least spend one Friday afternoon at Galatoire's?
Well, Tommy, it's a tableau of New Orleans life is what it is. I mean, yeah, these restaurants of that vintage, it's not just how old they are. It's the way that New Orleans people have poured their traditions and celebrations and enthusiasms and passions, crazy misplaced passions, right, that we have in New Orleans with the priority that we give to living life instead of just, you know, what they do in more economically functional cities. All of this gets poured into these restaurants, and Galatoire's is the perfect tableau of it. You know, on a Friday in particular, you know, the Friday idea there is you're probably not going back to the office to finish up the afternoon after this lunch. You know, the Friday lunch is busier than any dinner service. There's more drinks flowing. There's more wine going around. It's about the meal, certainly, but it's about being there. Very frequently it seems to resemble a giant cocktail party where people, you know, sit down and tuck into their meals, but then really want to circulate and play with each other. I mean, it's a New Orleans playfulness, you know, wrapped up in this upscale historic restaurant with food that shows you what happened when French cooking of the 1800s made it to the Gulf Coast. You know, that's basically what it is, and it's a joy.
And the thing that struck me about it is I always thought that, and I have friends, attorneys that spend just about every Friday at Galatoire's, that you had to be a member of the club to appreciate it. And you really don't. It's open to everybody. That's what I think I loved about it most and surprised me the most.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, these places, they belong to New Orleans, you know? I mean, there's certain protocols, rules, and people at places have their regulars. Mm-hmm. But that's the whole idea. These aren't private clubs. They're open hospitality settings. Now, you look around the room and you'll see, you know, somebody who's clearly from out of town, maybe a solo traveler, maybe did not know that he had booked a table for one at a restaurant that was going to burst into a very loud cocktail party where occasionally a brass band might come in to serenade somebody on her birthday. And the next Bentwood chair might be pressing up against yours because they've got so many people jammed into the room. But for those in the know, that's all part of the deal. It's the kind of place that does reward more frequent visits as you get to know the rhythm and the traditions of the place and make your own traditions around it.
Well, it's context, right? I mean, you know what's going on. Just like you might not know what the hell's going on the first time you go to Paris, but the third time you've been there, you get it.
Precisely.
Yeah. For people, since we're on this and we got about 5 minutes left here, give me some bucket list items in New Orleans restaurants, some experience that you would recommend locals put on their list for 2025.
Oh, yeah. The Friday lunch at Galatoire's is huge, but it doesn't have to be at Galatoire's necessarily. You know, I mean, that is a tradition that lives in a lot of different restaurants and can be sort of made your own if you're prioritizing other things besides being in that specific room, you know. One thing I love about Antoine's down the street is, well, two things. You know, there's the big main dining rooms, but then there's all those smaller dining rooms, and those are available. Those, you know, they have different carnival crews attached to them and whatnot, and yeah, during carnival season it gets a little tight, but with a group, you can get one of those rooms, and it's a very different dining experience from just making a reservation and walking in, because now you've got sort of a waiter in charge of your room, and it's almost like you're having your own private banquet. And on the other side of the coin, I mean, Antoine's is the oldest restaurant in New Orleans.
That would be another one that I would say definitely you want to put on your list.
Yeah, you can walk in anytime to the bar, to the Hermes Bar, and have a drink and order food off the menu and just get a taste of it, get a look at it, you know, get your drink and like wander around into the dining room, soak up the history. It's a very accessible way to do that without the whole shebang. Let's go on the other side of the page. Take the ferry over the river to Algiers. Algiers is, they don't have the historic restaurants over there that we're talking about in the French Quarter, but here's a deeply historic neighborhood that has a fun and growing restaurant scene. And, you know, the ferry ride is part of it. You're crossing the magnificent Mississippi River, you're stepping off, and you're walking into a couple of the restaurants that they have right there at the ferry landing. There's a great pizza place, great spot for pizza and cocktails called Nighthawk, and right next to that is the Dry Dock Cafe, kind of like a throwback to the old riverfront days in Algiers for gumbo and beer, and just having a walk along the levee top afterwards and taking the ferry back. I mean, that's huge right there. You know, there's the walking in the French Quarter yesterday, of course, the lines formed up at Café du Monde and Café Beignet, another popular place down there for the beignets. And I know, beignets, tourists, you wear black, you cover with sugar, it's kind of a cliche. But I'm telling you, every time I take visitors to the Café du Monde in City Park, big hit. It's a very different vibe, it's the same food, but you're in beautiful City Park, looking at the lagoons, looking out for alligators and egrets in the little waterway that's trickling past. And, you know, you can participate in a little beignet tasting by going just maybe a mile away to Morning Call on Canal Street, surrounded by cemeteries where the streetcars come turning in. How fun is that? You know, I mean, you can do your own little beignet taste test within a mile of each other. where else are you going? You're getting a muffalata from Central Grocery, which has reopened, and muffalata Central Grocery muffalatas have always been available through different retail outlets in a long hiatus when it was closed. But there's nothing like getting it from the source, going in there, seeing the place, having them make it for you right there, and walking out with your whole muffalata stacked up. They travel well. You bring them home, you cut them up, you have a party. It's good for, you know, one of these playoff games that the Saints aren't going to be in. Let's face it, the food's going to be more important for football fans.
You know what else you're doing? I'll tell what else you're doing, because I had a conversation with some people yesterday. We're going to the Sugar Bowl as I was walking down Poydras Street. I told them to go to Katie's. That's on the list. You need to go to Katie's. If you've not been, I think you need to go to Parkway Po' Boys. You need to Google it as Poor, P-O-O-R, because that's the way you know, Jason, they do a great job over there. And then you need to go to Bricado's and do the thing where you go have a po' boy at Parkway and then go have dessert at Bricado's and have a cup of, what do you call it, espresso, and sit there in a nice little the area that they have there and enjoy your piece of whatever it is and your coffee. And that's a very low-cost, iconic New Orleans experience, I think. Thoughts?
Absolutely. That's great. I mean, Bricado's is the finish line for so many of these things. We talked about the class and trash idea. That's more like fire and ice. You know, you get some this good fire New Orleans food and then cool it off with a cup of gelato and some espresso. You know, Venezia's and Angelo Bricado's is the classic pairing for that, because they're it's a well-trodden path of the sidewalk between the two. Along the same line, something you and I've talked about before for a good date night is what I call the Dryad's Double. You get the oyster bar at Pascal's Manali, and you put it on the heel and toe or just a block away, follow the neon down to Charlie's Steakhouse. For a T-bone and a martini and a wedge salad. And you're living right there, brother.
Somebody said there's a new restaurant, texted in, Ian. I don't know if you've been there or not, in the old Whitney Bank building. And they gave me my first signature loan to buy an engagement ring when I was in high school, when I was in college, and I'll never forget. Anyway, The Vault. Do you know anything about that?
The Vault? Oh, interesting. No, it's a new one on me. I like the name, though. I wonder if we're talking about the one down on Poydras Street.
No, I'm talking about in Algiers Point.
Oh, okay. Oh, great. No, fabulous. No, that's a new one on my list. I like the sound of that, though. These old bank buildings make fantastic restaurant settings.
Yeah, because they had one on Poydras, right? Wasn't that a restaurant for a while, or at least next to the bank?
Yeah, on Poydras and Magazine. It's a hotel now. It's been a number of different restaurants. The one I remember most was 58, and that was a reference to the ideal cellaring temperature of wine. It was run by Minh Bui, a Vietnamese chef of long standing, who has Cafe Minh up in Mid-City, which is a great hidden gem, by the way. If you're ever looking for a fine dining, a little bit off the beaten path, a little quieter place, always very solid there.
Ian McNulty, a pleasure as always. Here's a great 2025. It is going to be a great 2025 for the city. Monday morning, you got King Cake starting on King's Day. My friend, thank you. Happy 2025. I appreciate you, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
Happy New Year, Tommy. It was good to be with you.
Same to you, sir. We'll take a break. Come back right now, 941, 19 till 10, traffic, WWL.